Committee of Rules to order for Wednesday, February 4th. And I'd like to open a work session on House Bill 2177. Okay, the chair moves House Bill 2177 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. Discussion?
Madam Chair, I wonder if we have the opportunity to consider amendments?
Absolutely.
Great. With your permission, I'd like to move the dash one amendments.
Representative Kenemer moves dash one amendments to House Bill 2177 be considered. Any discussion?
Yeah, may I?
Yes, you may present.
Talk about it. I guess, you know, last time in our hearing, I was concerned about a couple of issues. One is that I think, well, I hope it's unprecedented. I guess I haven't had time to do my full research, but I have great concerns about government enrolling people as electors without their knowledge or consent. And I think it's important that that be a factor. And I think as a general rule, that's the way that we operate. And so this bill provides that they ask the person whether the person is registered to vote at the person's current address, and if not, whether the person would like to register to vote at the department to register there at the department. And I think that's consistent with providing them with knowledge and gaining their consent. The second is that I have concerns that in this kind of thing, sometimes people may take lightly the responsibility to clarify their citizenship. And the second piece in this, in paragraph B, is ask the person about their current address and whether or not they're, and in C, their citizenship. And that gives a chance to reconfirm, because voter fraud is the other problem in potential easy and excessive voter registration, and I think we want to guard against that. So I think this amendment provides the opportunity for people to have knowledge and give their consent, and then also to have a second shot at verifying that indeed they are a citizen and of proper age and meet the criteria necessary for voting. And I appreciate your opportunity to let me submit this amendment. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Okay. Can we have a roll call?
Representative Barnhart?
No.
Representative Kenemer?
Aye.
Representative McLean?
Aye.
Representative Nose?
No.
Representative Rayfield?
No.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
No.
Chair Hoyle?
No. Motion is not approved.
Chair Hoyle?
And motion is not approved.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Wilson.
I would like to propose the dash two amendments. If I could just give a recap of that, the Secretary of State must ensure that personal information provided by the Department of Transportation to the Secretary of State under ORS 247.017 remains subject to the same prohibitions on release of personal information set forth in ORS 802.175 to 802.191. Basically, as you read the amendment, it is prohibiting the release of driver's license, driver permit, and ID number, or ID number, and prohibits the release of name, address, and phone number. I think this is a good way to say goodbye to this bill. It needs to go away. This will effectively put it down, and it is my pleasure to offer that amendment to the committee.
Thank you, Representative Wilson. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Leader McLean?
It's always a pleasure to serve with you.
As you.
You say that every time.
And he means it. So,
we don't do lie detectors in this.
Okay, I'm just checking.
All right. Representative Wilson has moved the dash two amendments. Could we have a roll call vote?
Representative Barnhart?
No.
Representative Kenmer?
Aye.
Representative McLean?
Aye.
Representative Nose?
No.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Representative Wade-Greenfield?
No.
Vice Chair Gilliam?
Aye.
Vice Chair Smith-Warner?
No.
No. Motion doesn't pass. Did somebody want to make a motion for a third amendment?
Here we go.
McLean.
Thank you, Chair Hoyle. I move the dash three amendments to House Bill 2177. This would include in the bill the Task Force on Information Technology, Project Accountability, and the Protection of Personal Information. It would have support from both the House and Senate, and State Chief Information Officer and others would serve on this task force. As you know, Chair Hoyle, the Secretary of State is the overseer of enormous amounts of information. Specifically in the business realm, the Secretary of State's website was hacked last year and cost taxpayers $177,000, including $4,500 for meals and lodging to repair it. The Oregon Business Report indicated that the attack raised serious questions about the safety of personal information in the hands of state government. Oregon, like other states, is increasingly vulnerable to data breaches, end quote. The Oregonian further added, and I quote, watching some difficulties that Oregon has had in the area, in this area, meaning technology, and cover Oregon, there's a temptation to think we're better at technology than we actually are, end quote. The Secretary of State is requesting that information be given to her care with an abysmal track record of being able to manage it. The vulnerability shown by the Secretary of State's tenure at the Secretary of State's office makes data in her hands more at risk than other agencies. We need oversight, and we need it now. So, finally, it has become clear that information as to our voter registry, and when it's plussed up as to personal information of minors, becomes increasingly at risk with the Secretary of State. She's indicated that minors' information would be blocked from public request, but has provided no answer to how it's going to be blocked from hackers and other information that has been exposed under her leadership. When business data is leaked, it is certainly frustrating. When the personal data of our children and young people is leaked, it is unacceptable. At least this task force would require that the Secretary of State would comply with some recommendations, or at least would be forced to listen to recommendations on how to keep this data secure. So we urge the acceptance of the dash three in order to protect the data that is going to be made available. And I will like to say that because this is a policy committee and I serve on Ways and Means, that once this is sent to Ways and Means, that from a pure goal standpoint, the only question left is whether it's funded or not. This is the last opportunity the legislature has to set policy on this bill. It is the third day of session, Madam Chair. How does someone from Ontario meaningfully participate in this bill? This first week, running this bill, like other bills, has done a disservice to those of us who live in states that have to travel a day by vehicle over winter roads and over a mountain range to participate. It's a disappointment that the Willamette Valley and its constituents have been unduly gifted in being able to participate. And I think this bill should be delayed. We should amend it with the Dash 3. And we should give all Oregonians the ability to have input in the policy making of such importance like this. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Leader McLean. I will point out, just for any of your constituents, for those of you who live outside of the Willamette Valley, and thank you for including the whole Willamette Valley and not just the Portland metro area in your comments. I do appreciate that. But we do allow people to participate.
It goes beyond Portland?
Yes. Who knew? We do allow people to participate by phone, so at any time, if you have constituents that would like to participate in the committee process, we're happy to make those accommodations.
It's been invented in your
area. So we do make that available, and I think people don't necessarily know that that's available, but it certainly
I think
is.
They know.
Okay. Well, I just want to make sure that as chair, I am very, very open to accommodating that.
Sure.
So any other discussion? Representative Gilliam, Vice Chair Gilliam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate my colleagues pointing out how serious the issues are around protection of data and privacy. I'd like to say I appreciate your back and forth, but it certainly was interesting. And that's a very good point that I want to be respectful of, because I'm from Silverton and I get to sleep in my own bed every night. I don't know how it relates to Dash 3, but I think anytime we can remind folks of those who are really making great sacrifices to be here, we should. Back to the Dash 3. I want to emphasize, for me, the positive part, the looking forward part of this amendment. I may disagree with the Secretary of State, but I do not doubt her motives in this bill. For me, giving someone the opportunity to vote on this, to vote, I should say, in Oregon, is a wonderful thing. I want us to look forward, and if we can't do it in this bill, I want us, and I know I'm repeating myself from the other day, but I want us as a body to look forward to a better policy, to a better relationship to the private sector that helps us with IT, to a hard look, not just at the Secretary of State, but of all of our bureaus and all of our departments, on what is our capability regarding IT, regarding data, and move forward together for a better policy and a better managing, and I hope better partnerships with professionals from the private sector that could really help us. It has to do with negotiating the contracts, but it also has to do with folks that know what they're doing. So to me, the Dash 3s are at least a symbolic gesture to say, let's move forward in a positive way, not poke each other in the eye for all the IT problems. They are many, and we all need to take responsibility and come to reality that we're not very good at it. But how are we going to improve it? And that's why the Dash 3s are particularly interesting and attractive to me. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Vice Chair Gilliam. And I think, as I said to you earlier today, although I don't agree that with the amendment as put forward, I am very committed to working with you that we can get a task force would be a good idea to look at the entire system, and I'm committed to working with you and all of you on putting something forward like that this session. Any other discussion?
One last thing. Representative Gilliam put it in a much nicer way than I did, so I just want to thank him for that, and because the insertion of oversight being important, but I just admire the way he eloquently made me look like a mean son of a gun.
Gosh.
Thank you, Leader McLean. I will make no comment. With that, Would the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Barnhart.
No.
You sure?
Representative Kenmer.
Aye.
Representative McLean.
Aye.
Representative Nose.
No.
Representative Rayfield.
No.
Representative Wilson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Gilliam.
Aye.
Vice Chair Smith Warner.
No.
Chair Hoyle.
No. With that, motion fails to pass. Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to move to adopt the Dash 4 amendment to House Bill 2177.
Vice Chair Gilliam has moved to adopt the Dash 4 amendment to House Bill 2177. Would you like to present your amendment?
I would. Thank you, Madam Chair. The Dash 4 is an attempt at shifting this initiative that's in front of us today, again, to a positive opting in. I hope that you will, I appreciate you hearing all of these amendments, and I hope that you will be generous in your review of the amendment because of the short amount of time we had to get it written with LC and get it here under the rules. But basically, I'm just like our Secretary of State. I'd like to see more Oregonians participating as voting citizens. But for me, I would love it, even if it's only symbolic, but I would love it if we, in this process, would give them the opportunity at the point they're doing their license or the other business at DMV where they're going to be given this opportunity, for them to stand up. If it's just simply taking their pencil or pen and marking the ballot or marking the application to say, yes, I want to take responsibility as a citizen. Yes, I want to vote. And I understand, because there'd have to be wording on it, and you'll see it in the amendment, I understand that my information will be transferred from DMV over to them. So I just think, rather than just sitting back and saying, we're going to automatically do this, at least for every person that gets their license, they would have this opportunity to say, aha, I'm on. Now, maybe that's symbolic. Maybe it's just an affirmation of what already is going to happen. But I think it's extremely important for an individual to step up and say, I'm in, and I think this is good. That's basically what the Dash 4s propose, and I'm open to other discussion.
Representative Wilson.
Yes, Chair Hoyle, to the Dash 4s, they're beautiful in their simplicity. I mean, when you think about it, they are as simple as a screwdriver to say, I'm in. And that prohibits the custody chain of all the information being passed around to the various agencies, and an incredible cost ultimately be placed on your local county clerks in counties that are rotating around the anchor in Oregon's economy. It's amazing how much money the Dash 4s would actually save everyone. And the simplicity cannot be argued against. How could you argue against that kind of simplicity as reflected in the Dash 4s? I mean, I hate to think it makes too much sense to be happening in Salem, because it really makes a lot of sense. So I just want to speak to the Dash 4s. I can't imagine saying no to something that simple.
Other discussion?
Madam Chair, I would just like to add that if Representative Barnhart would like to take Representative Nose out for a coffee right now before we...
I was just about to say the eloquence of my colleague over here is making me waver about how to vote on these things, but I think I'm coming back around.
Shucks.
Thank you,
Madam Chair.
Thank you for the offer, Vice Chair Gilliam. Mm-hmm. We appreciate that. So, will the clerk please call the roll?
No.
Representative Kenmer.
Aye.
Representative McLean.
Yes.
Representative Nose.
Well, despite the elegance of my colleague to my left, I'm still going to vote no.
Representative Rayfield.
No.
Representative Wilson.
Votes aye.
Vice Chair Gilliam.
Aye.
No.
Chair Hoyle?
No. Motion to adopt the dash fours does not pass. So the chair has moved House Bill 217 as a due pass to be referred to Ways and Means. Is there any discussion on the initial motion, further discussion on the initial motion? Representative Wilson? Yes.
Thank you, Chair Hoyle. Well, now that we've said so long to simplicity here, I think one thing we can all agree on is it's a wonderful thing to encourage people to take part in our elective process. But unfortunately, the process has become a throwaway process in so many ways, and that is there's nothing about this process that stirs the heart any longer. When you consider what people have done and what they've sacrificed to do to give us the right to vote, and yes, the right to register to vote, it is sad that the whole process has become something that you do at the Department of Motor Vehicles. Not only that, you put your mark on a box and say so long to your information. I mean, you know, I think as a society we've gotten tired enough of being compromised, and I don't know about all of you, but I get really tired of the telephone calls that I get. I can't even get the no-call registry to do me right. And so here we go. We start sending information off from one agency to the other, terminating with our county clerks, costing untold thousands of dollars counties that can't afford tomorrow. And you know, that's another thing. It just seems hypocritical to me that we, knowing the desperate plight that so many of our rural counties are in, we would say, sure, yeah, pay some more, pay a lot more. And that's exactly the way it's going to be, with a vague offer of help from Salem financially, which good luck to us on that, but broken promises are something that we're very familiar with in Josephine County. So I would say again, let's bring some sanctity back to this process. This is a blood-bought process for us, and to be treating it like this, so carelessly, so casually, doing it at the Department of Motor Vehicles and then saying goodbye to your information, hoping it lands where it should and it can be carried out. You know, there are 19 different entities allowed to access personal information from the DMV. You know, I don't think that's what you want your kids to be subject to. I don't think you want anybody to be subject to 19 different entities. And when you read that list, it's a real hoot. And I don't think the elective process needs to be subjected to this kind of thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Wilson. Leader McLean.
Thank you. I agree with my colleagues that it is the goal of everyone here to have more participation in our voting process. And I've been troubled by the nature that people who of conscience or exercise their right not to vote, who don't want to be registered, now have to opt out of when the bar to be registered was so low, either online or putting a stamp on a postcard. But the majority party has decided to move this bill the first week and to do it. So my request is, at least our co-chairs of Ways and Means, is fund it fully, taking that money from other areas of the budget to fund it so that our rural counties, who this is going to be a significant economic impact, will not be hurt. It is my hope that by it going to Ways and Means today, because I'm kind of predicting that it will, is that Chair Hoyle, you will fulfill at least a commitment of what we've heard today and from the consensus of this committee to make sure that it is funded and it's not an unfunded mandate that goes to our counties. And with that, I appreciate the latitude you've given to the robust debate.
Thank you, and you do have my commitment, as I said to Representative Wilson, that coming out of this building, that we will get funding for counties like mine that are timber dependent, that no longer get secure rural school funds, that really will need assistance to expanding the roles, which I certainly think is a good thing, but you do have my commitment on that. Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree that the debate has been robust and interesting. I want to remind us what we're about on a bill like this. Oregon used to have a pretty open registration system in terms of time, but then along came the Rajneeshis and the scare that occurred in a small community in eastern Oregon around the possibility that a local government might be taken over by people from out of state who were brought in specifically for the purpose of registering to vote and then helping to take over a city or county government. I forget the details. And the result of that incident, which was publicized throughout the state and I think throughout the country, which was really an attempt, the possibility of voter fraud on a grand scale, was the adoption of the rule that we currently have, that registration has to be done ahead of time, before the election, and must be done in ways that help to obviate that kind of problem. We've done that. That rule's in place. What this bill does is it deals with a disadvantage, a real disadvantage, of the system that we adopted. And that is that many legitimate voters who care about the elections and who would like to vote are disenfranchised because they don't come in to register on time. What this bill does, as I understand it, is that a significant percentage of those people will actually be registered ahead of time before they need to do it, without compromising at all the need to make certain that we're talking about citizens who are residents of Oregon and who are of the correct age to vote, so that we preserve both aspects of what we reach for in a registration system. In that sense, I agree completely with the testimony we heard the other day from one of my county clerks, the Linn County clerk, who talked about exactly this issue. This bill actually forwards the state's policies in both ways. It allows us to keep the 20-day rule that is good to protect us from situations like Antelope, and at the same time, it allows for the registration of people who are busy, paying attention to other kinds of issues, and who, when the time comes for them to vote, will discover that, in fact, they're already registered, and they were registered at a time when all of these issues about their qualifications to register were before the state through the database systems that we're talking about today. I think this is a very appropriate bill. It's one that deals with at least a piece of the negative side of that 20-day rule in a way that that actually is quite forward-looking. I strongly support this bill, and I urge its passage. I urge the approval of the motion to send it with a positive recommendation to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Thank you. Representative Gilliam?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just say this about the bill. Again, theoretically, philosophically, it's a great goal. The vulnerability of data information handled in the way that's outlined and given our ability concerns me very much, and I don't think that we've taken that seriously enough, and I'm worried about what might happen. I won't say it will happen. I certainly am concerned about that, and I'm sorry that we can't address here going forward a better policy by this state. I am encouraged both by your allowance for amendments, for your patience with discussion on Monday and again today, and I appreciate it very much. And hopefully we can address the issue that I just mentioned as we go forward. The other issue that I just want to touch on quickly is the idea of what are we doing, both as a society, but specifically as a legislature as we go forward, to encourage people to want to vote, to want to be part of the system. You may not like this example, but I'll just throw it out there. There certainly wasn't time to add it into this bill. There is a test that is required by the federal government for those seeking immigration and citizenship in the United States. It's a short, some would say, not so valuable test, but it's a short test. What are we doing to encourage that kind of civic responsibility and understanding of our basic democracy at the high school level? This is not the Committee on Education. But as a legislature, what are we doing to attract and inspire, educate, and inform people to vote? Not just policies that put a ballot in their hand. That's half the battle, maybe. But getting an electorate that wants to be part of the system is another huge task. I'm not saying we could do that here today, but I hope this legislature will focus on that and not just policies such as this. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Gilliam. Representative Kenema.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Appreciate your patience. I didn't have the time that I had hoped to have to explore the issue of the precedent of doing something like this without consent or knowledge. And I do think that's a matter, and I hope in Ways and Means, and there will be some discussion among all of us. I think all of us share wanting to make Oregon a great place to live, work, and play. And I think getting more people to vote is part of that, but I also think how we go about doing that and how we go about operating is part of that. And I think from what little I've been able to research it, and I'll research it some more, I think it's pretty unprecedented when we do actions to people without really knowledge nor consent.
Thanks, Representative. Representative Rayfield.
I think all of us can agree that voting is one of the most fundamental rights in a democracy. And so I have a lot of admiration and respect for a lot of the people that testified. It was very moving for my first sitting in on a hearing. And as I looked through this, I think the lens that this committee should evaluate this bill is, number one, can we reduce barriers for folks to engage or vote at the same time maintaining the integrity of the election process? And as the testimony showed us, that there are certainly barriers to folks voting. Now, as Representative McLean noted, some of these barriers are not huge, and I'd admit, you know, putting a postage on that is not a huge barrier, but as a legislative body, if we can reduce barriers, no matter how small they are, I think it's our duty to do so. And the other testimony also showed that, in fact, the integrity of our elections process will increase. It is tougher to get a driver's license if you've tried to get a driver's license recently than it is to register to vote. The other thing that I think that's really important is we've had a lot of discussion about folks opting out. Well, in fact, there is a provision in this bill that allows folks 21 days to opt out of the process. And so for those reasons, I'll be supporting the bill.
Thank you. Okay, no further discussion. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Barnhart.
And Madam Chair, we're voting on the motion to refer to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Yes.
With a due pass.
Yes.
Thank you. I vote yes.
Representative Kenner.
No.
Representative McLean.
No.
Yes.
Representative Rayfield?
Yes.
Representative Wilson?
No.
Vice Chair Gilliam?
No.
Vice Chair Smith-Warner?
Yes.
Chair Hoyle?
Yes. The motion passes. With that, I will close the work session and adjourn the meeting. Mm-hmm. And adjourn the meeting. Mm-hmm. And